Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you could join us today. Today is part two of, actually this interview is a two-part interview, but then I brought Tom Donner right back again a few days after we recorded this for another three-part interview. So this is actually part two of a five-day series of interviews, five-part series with Tom Donner about prophetic insights and signs of the times in which we live and some of the things that shows us that we are wrapping up the end of the age. I mean, this is some stuff that you need to hear. So get out a notepad, take good notes. Tom will be sharing today. We're going to continue our discussion with the Ring of Fire, and we'll continue the conversation in the next couple days. But right now, right back into the interview with Tom Donnan.
And so now getting back to the thing about the Ring of Fire, okay, we've always had earthquakes, you know, and I think it's been like the last 150 years we have the technology to be able to measure them and and see what's going on with those. But, it, you know, of course, I think it's in Matthew 24 where Jesus says that we're going to have an increase, you know, of earthquakes. And, of course, we are seeing an increase. But in the last month, there has been a lot of big earthquakes, 6.5 and above, to where you have one that will be, like in Fiji, they had, it was first registered at about an 8.1, and they downgraded it to a 7.9. You know, and then it shifts the pressure to the other side of the Ring of Fire, and then you start to see that you have earthquakes that are happening on the coast of Chile and South America on the western coast. No, and so that brings us to why are we not seeing any activity happening in our area of the world in the Ring of Fire, which would be the Cascadia subduction zone and the San Andreas Fault. Now, if we're having all this activity on a regular basis in the other areas of the Ring of Fire, then what's the conclusion about those two areas?
Well, it's building up. I mean, the pressure's there.
Yeah. It's locked. It's locked, and the pressure is there, and they are concerned.
Getting stronger.
Well, they had a kind of like an alarm the other day. What was it, last week, off the 50 miles off the coast of Washington? I think it was a 6.6 on the Cascadia fault line. Yeah, yeah. And, of course, that got people's attention. Because if that happens, now, you have the mountain range there. They say, I think it's Interstate 5, I think they were saying, that that the tsunami wave, if it was a big earthquake there. Now, what happens is that you have an earthquake, and then like what happened in the Japan earthquake, it erupts, and it's like a zipper. Once it starts moving in one place, then it starts going down. So it could run, you know, miles, if not 100 miles, like a zipper effect. And when that takes place, well, now you got a really long tsunami, and they feel as though it would be devastating to the western coast if the Cascadia should have that type of instant release of pressure rather than a little bit over time, you know, having one big release. It could be devastating, and this is what they train for there. With the warnings and, you know, preparedness.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's just not on the West Coast. I mean, just this past, I'd say maybe 6 months ago, Oklahoma had an earthquake. Because we call our friends that live in Lawton, Oklahoma, is just located a few miles from there, you know, maybe 50 miles from there or something. And it wasn't a large one. It was like, you know, 3-point-something. You know, I guess it was. I don't remember exactly. But we called our friends, make sure they were all right. And, you know, yeah, the house shook a little bit, but, you know, that's it. But Oklahoma, the middle of the United States. I mean, it's just not isolated to the West Coast. I mean, you know, there's a fault line running in Missouri up through the middle of America. And, you know, that's increasing in activity as well. As a matter of fact, when we lived in Texas, I bought earthquake insurance as part of my house policy because there was a couple of earthquakes, you know, along that line. And it's funny, driving down the Texas highway, think it's 35 south down. I want to say before Austin, it's right around Marcos, Texas. The fault line runs right through there, one of the off branches of the fault line for Missouri, the Missouri fault line. And you can see it. You know, there's like a 1 or 2, in some places a 3 or 4 foot, but 1 or 2 foot difference in the height of the ground where it's been, you know, already cracked up and all that stuff. Oh. And it's right, there's the fault line right there. And, you know, they built the highway. It goes, you know, up, a little up, you know, because you're going 3 foot up. But right there, but you look off to the side and you see the fault line run right underneath the expressway off to the other side, you know. And but it's, you know, right there. And I was growing up as a preteen and early teens, I was really interested in geology. So I know all about that stuff as far as an amateur status. But, you know, so I'd be telling my kids, yeah, that's the fault line right there. You know, you feel a little bump on the highway as you go.
Yeah.
But it's right there.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the heartland of America here, yeah. And when you're talking about the New Madrid, it does have its own unique history. That's which it's called, been, yeah. It's been quiet for some time now, mm-hmm. which would make a great segue into another area that we wanted to talk about is that the precursors before the earthquake in the New Madrid, and it was in 1811 and 1812, they found records talking about what had happened. And the people in that area said that they heard what they thought, because it's the only thing that they could equate it to, was cannon fire or huge explosions. Yep. You know, so months before, they're hearing these sounds, these huge explosions. And then, of course, they have the first earthquake. Higher than an 8 point something, you know, and then you have all the aftershocks. It was so powerful that the Mississippi River ran backwards and it created the Kentucky Lake. And then they had a second one that took place. They were talking about sand plumes that were shooting up out of the ground because of the earthquake. And so it was devastating. It was very powerful, you know, so they know that there is a lot of pressure that is in that area, and it's the boom sounds. Now, the booms that they heard then were telling them that something was going to be happening, but the boom sounds that we're having today, they're around the world. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not sonic booms. You know, what's happening is that these sounds are emanating into the atmosphere. And one of the links that I had come across was about
Gatesville, Texas.
Yeah. And for some time now, they've been experiencing, but, you know, this is human nature. Okay, so you hear it and nothing, it doesn't affect your life in any negative way.
Right,
so
Yeah, just let it go.
You let it go. You know, you hear it 2-3 times a week, and it shakes the house a little bit, you know. But life goes on. Well, at the point of this YouTube, they had one that was so big that people started saying, listen, you got to figure out what's going on here because we need to know. No, but that is not just an isolated area. This is happening in different areas across the country as well as other parts in the world. And this comes back to, I have never heard anybody other than, you know, the record in the New Madrid saying that they've heard these booms.
Right.
And so the question, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, the question is that what is generating them? What is happening to the world, to the earth, that we are having this, because then it flows into other aspects that we want to talk about.
Well, the part of it, I don't know if they're tied to seismic activity or not, but, I mean, there's the boom is a release of pressure from somewhere. I mean, that's what causes it. I mean, those reports of the sonic booms, you have, you know, trees being knocked over. I've seen the report about animals dying off all around the world, millions of fish dying, right? And is it because of the boom? I mean, the old story about, you know, guy won, you know, went to a fishing contest, and this guy come in, and he had, like, all kinds of fish, and they weighed him, you know, he caught, you know, 100 fish, and everybody else is bringing in, like, 6 and 7. And he said, where did you go fishing? I want to find that spot. You know, like, oh, come on with me. And they pull on out, and he said, this is the spot. He goes, okay. The guy's putting the bait on his hook, and this guy opens up a box, pulls out a stick of dynamite, lights it, throws it in the water. Right? Boom! You know, yeah. A dozen fish come to the top. He goes, what are you doing? He says, you can't use that. He says, you're gonna... He's getting all the fish. He goes, are you coming to fish? Or are you coming to talk?
Yes. So it's humor about the things that we're experiencing, because sometimes this can get really heavy. Yeah. You know, I remember the first time that I had played one of the atmospheric sounds that was on YouTube for my niece. It freaked her out so bad she said, turn it off. Mm. No.
Yeah.
But that started in 2011, and yeah. So they haven't stopped, but it doesn't cause any kind of major damage.
Right.
And so, but the thing is that is God trying to get our attention? And I believe the answer is yes.
Absolutely. That's the purpose of everything that's in the book of Revelation. You know, all these things are going to come to pass. Jesus in Matthew 24, talking about these things are going to be signs that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you know?
And, yeah.
You know, for 2,000 years, we was like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, it doesn't really affect me. When I start seeing all this stuff happening at one time, then I'll go ahead and start going to church. But their hearts are hardened. It's on the news. It's in the newspaper. It's all over the internet. And people still say, wow, I wonder what it could mean. Duh, read the Bible. You know?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. The thing is that if it's not personal or if it's not costing you some way, you tend to just kind of go on with life. And I understand that that's a human experience. No. Yeah. But at some point in time, you got to start examining the situation and thinking, okay, this can't be normal. This can't be the regular thing. This is the whole point of our conversation. We seem to have moved into a time that is unique, that is showing us, you know, pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, they're talking about the ocean water heating up. You know, they got the Nino and El Nino and, you know, the minor Nino and all these other things that they give names to. But in actuality, it's just the water is reacting to the shifts that are taking place in the tectonic plates. And that causes the water to heat up because, you know, you've got the volcanic activity underneath. There's more volcanic activity under the ocean than people realize.
Yeah.
You know, that's where volcanoes, you know, the Hawaiian Islands and the Fiji Islands, all they're just the tip top of the volcanoes, you know, and people decided to live there because the volcanoes hadn't exploded lately, you know. You know, that, and they're still living. I mean, you are living on top of an active volcano. I mean, you know, Hawaii may be beautiful, and, you know, the volcano hasn't exploded in 10,000 years or whatever, but it's still there, you know? And the longer it has been since the last major explosion, the more powerful the next one's going to get. You know, right now, they just evacuated the area of the island where the lava ran down the side into the ocean. But what are you going to do when the big one comes? You know, there's nowhere to hide.
And, well, you go ahead. You
know, that means they'd have to evacuate the island, which isn't going to happen in a hurry, which means there's going to be massive loss of life. And, that's just the Hawaiian. That's just one island. Same thing could happen to Fiji Islands. Same thing could happen to Indonesian Islands. You know, the Philippines. That all of them are built on volcanoes, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, folks, read the Bible. Look at the signs of the times. And if you are not born again, I mean, there is no hope. You have hope if you're born again and you're living in these areas, because if the big one comes and takes you out, you'll never know it. Jesus tasted death for every man. You don't have to experience it. You may, you know, be suffocating underneath all the ash, but, you know, the grace of God will zip you out of there before it affects your spirit, man. And, you know, I mean, Don's one that can tell you about stepping out of your body, you know. Relate that real quick, Don, as we get ready to close for today.
Okay, that would be the time that I had the what's called a Widowmaker heart attack.
Yeah.
And it happens very quickly. The heart attack started, and the ambulance was called. I was in the ambulance, and it closed. The vein closed. And before I knew it, I was out of the body. It was so fast that I had no recognition or no awareness of even moving. I was in the body, and the next thing I know, I was above the ambulance looking at the surrounding. I was already in the spiritual realm, and it happened just that quick.
Yep.
And so life can be, how would you say, it can come to an end very quickly.
Yeah.
And so I know that. It changed my life. Looking into the face of my own mortality, whoa, you know, it's a very scary thing. And so, it can happen that quickly. And now we're starting to see signs of things that are very unusual in our time. God's trying to get our attention. And the thing is that when we're born again, we want to pop into God's portion of the spiritual realm. We don't want to be going to the other side. You know, we don't want to be going towards evil or towards hell. And that's where it is you know, in John 3:3-3:8, it talks about being born again. Now, I believe this is my opinion, that is the meaning of life. Is that we are born so that we can find our journey to being born a second time, a spiritual birth. And in that birth, we are born into the kingdom of God. We're adopted by Him as children, and that we will be with Him forever. And that is the point of our journey, is to find our way to Him. And that then, once we leave, then we have eternity. Now, heaven is a very wonderful place. I've tasted parts of heaven and the spiritual realm. And I try to equate to people, like if you have a point A to point B with the center line being zero, you know, and you have a plus 100, which is the good side of life, the wonderful feelings, and then you have the negative side of 100, and which is all the bad feelings that we have and the negative emotions. In the spiritual realm, it is like 1,000 on each side. The wonders of heaven are so absolutely amazing that there aren't any words for it.
Amen.
But then on the opposite side, hell is so bad. I think if people understood what hell was like, nobody would voluntarily go in that direction.
Yeah. I read a book. This lady was taken to hell a couple of different occasions by Jesus and wrote a book about what she saw. I can't remember the name of it right now, but, I mean, it was a moving book. And the people in hell are asking for forgiveness. You know, they're like, please, if I would have known, you know, please, one more chance, Jesus, you know, because they've seen Jesus there with her. And one more chance, and he said, it's too late, and he just walks on to the next, you know, to show her whatever's going on. And, I mean, it was just, you know, a great book. I'll find the name of it, and I'll put it in the show notes down below. But, I mean, this was, it showed me how real the story about Lazarus and the rich man was, you know. And the things that, if you're familiar with that story, where Jesus gave that story, where he said there was a rich man who lived sumptuously, and in other words, he had all of anything he wanted, he had. And there was a beggar named Lazarus who stayed outside the gate just hoping to catch, you know, to go through the guy's garbage and get something to eat out of that. Both of them died at the same time. The Lazarus was taken to heaven. The rich man was sent to hell. And the rich man, looking up, could see Lazarus with Abraham in Abraham's bosom, which was the protection area of hell until Jesus led the captivity captive. And he called out, saying, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, have him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, because, you know, it's so bad here. I'm tormented here. And Abraham told him, no. He said, we can't come to you. You can't come to us. There's huge gulf fixed. And then he started arguing with Abraham. He said, well, send Lazarus back to tell my brothers not to come here. He said, they got Moses and the scriptures. Let them read that. No, they won't believe that. But if somebody rose from the dead and told them that, then they'd believe. And he said, even if someone rose from the dead, they still won't believe. And that's an accurate picture right there. That is solely accurate. But the point I want to make is, the rich man in hell could see, he could feel, he wanted that water, he could taste, right? The smell, didn't mention the smell, but, you know, the books that I read said, you know, the sulfur that we talked about, it's just a horrendous smell down there. All five senses were still intact. And he still tried to influence what Lazarus was going to do. because that's what he used to do. Lazarus, be a servant or something like that. Go do this, you know. As we come down here and dip your finger in water and cool my tongue. And Abraham said, no, that's not going to happen. We can't get to you. You can't get to us. He goes, well, okay, well, then, Abraham, send them back to my brothers. You know, he's trying to tell Abraham what to do. And he's arguing with, no. If one rose from the dead, they go back. And he said, no, even if one rose from the dead, prophesying Jesus, he goes, they still won't believe. And that's the problem with a lot of Jewish people. You know, they still are waiting for their Messiah to come. And it's not until they actually recognize Jesus as the Messiah that they will then declare, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then Jesus say, okay, now we can get on with stuff. Up until that time, it's just raining hell on earth during the 7 years of tribulation. Well, actually, the last 3.5 years of tribulation. But anyway, I digress off our subject matter for today. But the point we're trying to get across is things are going to get a lot worse. And we're beginning to see the signs of it right now, just like the Bible said. And, you know, a lot of things I'll see on the news and like, I've read that somewhere. And sure enough, I'll find it in the scriptures. Folks, you cannot ignore the things we're talking about. You need to dig into the scriptures. You need to check them out yourself. You need to get online and the links that we're going to provide and look at these YouTube videos. Look at the references. Judge for yourself whether or not we are beginning, and I emphasize beginning to enter the days talked about in the Bible. I mean, Jesus said these are the signs that will be demonstrated as the kingdom of heaven is approaching, as the time of the Son of Man and the kingdom of heaven is approaching, and we are starting to live it. I mean, when I'm sharing these scriptures with people or in churches or whatever, tell, look, Jesus can come back for the rapture to get his people out of here before all hell breaks loose, before we finish this broadcast today, before I stop the recording, Jesus could come back and take us out of here. I mean, it's that soon. There's no scriptures, there's no prophecies left for him to fulfill before he comes back for his church. We're between the end of time and the beginning of eternity. We're at that point, that little sliver of time that remains. We have no idea how long it is. It could be 2 seconds. It could be 2 years. It could be 20 years. It could be another 200 years. Not likely, but we are entering that time. And the stuff that Don is sharing with us, we're not doing it just to talk about, you know, hey, you know, we all should take a trip, go to Yellowstone and check out what we're talking about. You know, we're not doing that. We're not trying to, you know, organize a tour so we go around and look at all the stuff happening. We're just trying to share with you important information that Don and I feel you need to see in order to judge for yourself. That's what we're doing, giving you information so you can judge for yourself. Don, if someone has their eyes opened right now, they're like, oh, wow, you know, yeah, I see it. I understand now what they're talking about. Would you pray for them right now and lead them to salvation?
Oh, I'd like to do that. Thank you for this opportunity. No, I do ask the Holy Spirit that you would flow with this broadcast and that you would touch the hearts and lives of the people who are listening. And I ask that the listener would, if they want to have this relationship, this spiritual birth, pray with me, please. And that is, follow along. Dear Father God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the work that he has done upon the cross. I know that he has paid the price for all sins. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner. I am sorry for the sins that I have committed that has caused you pain. Please forgive me. Now I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart and come into my life, and I want to live for you.
Yeah.
And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. If you folks, you pray that prayer, leave a comment down below in the comment section of this episode and let us know. Send an email to me at brotherbob@ftfm.org because I want to know. And, you know, if you don't have a Bible, because you need a Bible in these last days, if you don't have a Bible, you email me and give me your contact information. I will send you a Bible free of charge anywhere in the continental United States. Unfortunately, I can't do it outside of the United States. But if you live in the United States and you don't have a Bible and you want one, you let me know and I'll take care of it. Our ministry will do that just because we want you to have one in your hands. Amen. Don, we are not finished. We got a lot more to talk about, man. It was good today, but what's coming up is even better. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So I'm looking forward to the next one. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Glory to God. I pray that you receive something from this. I pray that you would go and check out the links below. I'm going to put links in the show notes to the things we are talking about. And you need to make sure that you are on the right side when time comes to a stop, because it could be a car accident this afternoon. It could be a heart attack in the shower. It could be Jesus saying, time's up, come home. But you need to be ready no matter when it happens. Amen. Folks, for Don, glory to God, Tom Donnan. I was trying to call you Don Tommen. Tom Donnan. When I start going in the spirit, man, all things, I start speaking in tongues, basically. But for Tom Donnan, myself, this is Pastor Robert Tu, reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.